Good morning. Thank you, Mitzi and Andrew. It was beautiful. That's one of my favorite songs. And it's amazing to me what Spirit does, the way things just tie together. I had thought about that song, and here it was. It was amazing. It's great. And Pat, thank you for that lovely tribute. I was going to mention it because it is important. I think that we realize and honor the real meaning of Memorial Day. And we do. We commemorate and honor those who have fallen in service. It's the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate gift. That vision of world peace that they just sang again about, and that vision of world peace, I believe that was the reason for the wars in the first place, it is why they lost their lives, that there was a vision that the world could be a better place, that something needed to change so that world peace could happen. So there is a vision behind that. And to have a vision, we have to have imagination. We have to be able to imagine the world differently than what we see differently. And that happens to be what we're going to talk about today. Audacious imagination. And we've been working from this book, Divine Audacity, for several weeks now, and will for several more weeks as we go through it. Linda Martella-Witsit is the author of this book, and she uses it to explain how, in a modern way, how we can use these powers, these abilities that we have, 12 of them, the 12 powers, in what she describes as audacious ways, bold spiritual living. And if there's ever a time when our world needs bold spiritual living, I think it's now. So if and as we choose to upgrade, if you will, enhance and intensify each of these abilities that we have, we become those lights in the world. We become more Christ-like. We live from our higher self even better. So divine audacity, and the way she describes imagination, I think, is important. So I want to start off with what she says about it. Imagination is our powerful capacity to picture what can be. And by holding that idea and developing it until we feel its effect while it is yet unmanifest, to live into that idea until it essentially becomes our reality. That's imagination. That ability to just know things could be different and have a picture of what that might be. This is so pure unity. You know, I mean, 12 powers certainly are, but it seems to me that imagination is one of the foundational pieces of that. When you think about our third basic principle, it's the law, what we call the law of mind action. It is where we put our thoughts. It's what we think about. It's how we focus our thoughts to create our reality. And so imagination is key in that. As I said, that it's one of the 12 powers, imagination. I like Netflix. I watch actually more Netflix than I do regular TV. It seems I find things. I found another show that I like a lot. It's called Anne with an E. Has anybody seen that? Yeah, I love it. It's really cute. It's a variation of the story Anne of Green Gables, and she is not your typical child star. You know, she isn't pretty, and she is. She describes herself as plain, but she is quick. You know, she's very intelligent, and she talks a mile a minute always, and she has this imagination that just knows no bounds. I'm getting such a kick out of each episode. There's something new that she does. One of the first episodes, maybe the first episode, she was driving to her new home. She's an orphan, and if you are familiar with the story, and the couple who asked for a child, their brother and sister, and they asked for a boy, but the orphanage didn't send a boy, they sent Anne. So the brother took her back home anyway. And on the way, she would see a pond, you know. I mean, I'd call it a pond. She called it the Lake of Shining Waters or something. You know, it's just amazing imagination this girl had. It's also pure unity in that it talks about, you know, until it becomes our reality. We teach, pray as if it's already so. You know? So it's based on imagination. This is so important. Now here's something that I hadn't really thought about too much before. She says, with imagination, we can both create our future, but also rewrite our past. Now we can't literally rewrite the past, but what we can do is we can kind of rethink it. So we already know about the emphasis on the future, seeing what we want to see. But when we think about what has happened in the past, if we use our faculty, our ability of imagination, perhaps we could see it in a different way. Her example that she used was adoption. If we have been telling ourselves, like Anne of Green Gables, and she doesn't at all, she's always seeing the good side of things, but if we were to say, I'm adopted, my parents gave me up, and that's the perspective. The other way of looking at that with a shift using your imagination is, my parents chose me. So we can shift the way we think about the past. So how do we enhance this ability of imagination? I think it is very critical, because if you can't imagine it, it can't possibly happen to us, maybe somebody else. Yeah. There was a song that Brian and her name just left me. They sang a few weeks back, and they sang I Can See Clearly Now. Anyway, you remember that song. I like that song. I Can See Clearly Now, the rain is gone. We had a rainy day yesterday, didn't we? My dogs were glued by my sides. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. That, I think, is that ability of imagination to imagine, to see what isn't really there yet. And the obstacles in the way, I think that sometimes we don't even know that we are thinking along lines that aren't true or are limiting. It's just, you know, we just have accepted this is the way it is. You know? I used to volunteer for a women's hotline, a women's abuse hotline, and it was so interesting and sad to hear the resignation in their voices as they would talk and describe what was happening to them. Many of them didn't see a way to change their circumstances, a way to get out of this horrible situation that they were in. So our jobs as phone people was to help them begin to see a vision, you know, to help them see that there could be something different, and we were there to support them in doing that. Sometimes I think we accept as true that certain things have to be. They just are. And so we don't even attempt it. We might really would love to do XYZ or be XYZ, but we're so stuck, if you will, in the notion that couldn't possibly happen. You know, just couldn't. I had an interesting, I was talking to my son yesterday and a light bulb went on for me. I was describing some person from years back and had a physical limitation and how that person couldn't do whatever it was that we were talking about because of this limitation. And he said, well, sure they could. Really? How do you figure that? And so he told me another way of seeing it. Well, person could do thus and so. I hadn't thought about that, you know? So he opened my mind to a whole different, whole new avenue of what way, a new way of thinking about this condition that the person had. So we can become stuck. We can tend to think about things as if they are true, they've always been true, and they will always been true, and be true in the future, and that may not be the case. So to imagine, to have vivid imaginations, to be able to enhance this ability to imagine, she gives us three ways. She says it's a combination of conception, vision, and embodiment. Let's talk about conception first. Her first sentence under that says, any constructive idea that you or I could ever conceive of comes from the one mind. I'll think about that just for a moment. Any idea that floats through your mind has already been conceived of by the one mind. One mind being capitalized. That's pretty, I found, surprising. You know, and I thought about those little things that filter through sometimes. Boy, I'd really like to have a milkshake. You know? Did that come from one mind? Probably, yeah. A desire for something that tastes good, you know. Anyway, being a little bit silly, but if one mind originates everything, if it occurs to us, it's already occurred. It's already there in divine mind. She talks about that the word, you know, in the Bible, it says in the beginning. It's the beginning of the Genesis, and in the beginning was God. And then John, I think, has also in the beginning. She says that the word meaning, or the big word meaning beginning, the Hebrew word, and I can't pronounce it, I'm not even going to try. She said it's derived, the word is derived from its root, R-O-S-H, Raj, something like that. She says that word appears 598 times in the King James Bible. She says 14 times that word is translated as beginning, but more than 400 times it's translated as head or chief or top. So, like, if we were to think of the head of a river, you know, where that, the source, the beginning of, the source, I think, is a great word to think of when we're in the beginning, from the beginning. Conception. So, she calls it, with our conceiving power, what can we conceive of? She says, we catch an idea, and then we make it our own. I've had some light bulb, you know, like talking to my son yesterday. I've had some moments where there was an idea. Think about all the inventors who, for the very first time, had caught an idea that seemingly no one else had ever thought of before. If we didn't have this conceiving power of mind, there wouldn't be all of the inventions that have happened. These things, as they come through our minds, can be either positive or negative. So when an idea comes in, you know, just like the milkshake might be silly and funny and positive, in my opinion, worry is also a way of imagining, but it's done in a negative way. Now, I come from a family of worriers, so I know how to worry. I really have done that a whole lot less as the years have gone by. I'm much better at letting things go and just kind of letting things happen, see what happens. But I remember worrying for 20 years that my dad was going to pass away, because he had a heart attack when he was 46, and he died at 66. So somewhere in that, I didn't worry the whole 20 years, but some of it I did. Every time the phone would ring, I was worrying that it was going to be a phone call that my dad had another heart attack, and this time it was it. And then at one point I thought, you are just worrying for nothing. Why not just enjoy the time? You know, so I give myself a strict, severe talking to, and it helped a whole lot. So it was the beginning of my seeing that worrying was not productive. It wasn't good for me or anybody around. Worrying is a negative use of this imagination that we have. And did you ever notice that if you get with like-minded people and you start worrying together, you know, murmuring, as we talked about in class the other night in the Bible, it builds an energy, it builds a vibration, so that with the negative imagination, we can create some things we really don't want to have too. So when you think about quantum physics and this awareness that where we put our attention is going to increase the energy that goes to it. So when there are enough people doing that, we increase the likelihood of whatever it is happening. And we may not want to do that. And the final thing on conception, catching this idea, conceiving power is unlimited. Unlimited. When we are conceiving these ideas, they come, and at first you might go, whoa. But it's unlimited. It can be. The second step of this is vision. She says, vision is the ability to dream of what has not yet been manifested, to flesh out an idea and feel the benefit in, I can't read my writing, in advance of fulfillment. Visioning is so very powerful. We do sometimes visioning in meditations, you know, visualizations we call them. Visualizing something is extremely positive, and it's very unity. We do it all the time. I remember taking a class back in the late 70s or early 80s. It was a class, I went to it, and then I also got all the audio tapes and moved that thing around with me. It's been 30 years. I probably still have it in one of my boxes somewhere. It was called Achieving Your Potential. It was by Professor Lewis Tice from the Pacific Northwest, Seattle area, I believe. And that was the first time I had been introduced to this notion of visioning. He claimed that, and I believe, that our minds don't know the difference between what we are imagining, visioning, and what's really happening, maybe a memory or something. So it has been used greatly, and in 30 years, you can imagine. He wrote of teams that would use them, athletic teams would use visioning. In the class, it had an example of a basketball, a group of young men who played basketball. Broke it into three groups, a control group that didn't do anything. One group practiced basketball shots for a month. The third group imagined, they visioned themselves making basketball shots through this whole month. The control group, not surprisingly, didn't improve at all. What was surprising at that time was that the other two groups, the one who actually physically did it and the one who imagined that they did it, improved about the same amount. So it's a very powerful tool. I remember using it a lot. Back then, I was terrified to be speaking in front of people. Here I am every Sunday. But what they suggested on that was to imagine yourself speaking and imagine the people smiling and nodding and, you know, whatever. And I used to do that a lot. I don't know if that caused my profession or what. But it is so true that it really, really, really works. This visioning is amazing. Michael Beckwith, we've probably heard a lot about him, right? He has a very powerful visioning process that many Unity churches use to do a visioning, to imagine what would be good for the church and how the individuals doing the visioning can see themselves as part of that vision. So it's a very powerful process. I don't think I've done it here. I've done it in all the other churches, I guess, mostly. But anyway, so visioning is an amazingly powerful tool. So imagination is conception, grabbing onto the idea, visioning, seeing it, and then embodiment. And how can you have, you know, how can you do this other part, conceive it, vision it, and then not do it? You know, it's important to walk the talk. If we talked about the third principle before, the fifth basic Unity principle is walk the talk. It's put into practice these things that we know and learn. So embodiment, we must be the person who can live the vision future. It occurred to me that there are examples of people who don't do that part. Maybe they try and fail. Sometimes people who have lost a whole lot of weight have a lot of trouble being in the new body. Authors, I have like Linda. I know Linda from Unity. I mean, casually. And when she wrote the first book, and then this one too, she did book tours and went around and promoted the book and met with people and all that stuff. I would not want to do that at all. That does, you know. So embodiment is a part of this. So would I even consider conception, visualization, and embodiment of something like that if I can't see myself, if I don't want to do that part? No, probably not. So embodiment, it is the living expression. Live as if it is already so. So what about us? Imagine, if you will, your future. From the time you step out of these doors today and going forward, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? We can practice this imagination ability. We can practice conceiving, grabbing an idea. We can practice visioning it and then embodying it and bringing it into play. We can use audacious imagination to improve our lives, to be the light in the world. God bless you. Let's take this time now, as we do each week, To practice attunement, to practice at-one-ment, to practice aligning with that divine presence. So I invite you, if you are comfortable doing so, to close your outer eyes. Allow your body to slow, to relax, to let go. Feel all of your muscles releasing, relaxing. Notice your face and your neck and your shoulders. Notice that as you release and relax, they become slack. You can unclench your jaw. You can drop your shoulders. Here and now, we are among friends, beloved friends. Here and now, we are safe. We are able in these times, at this time particularly, to let go of all of the activity in the outer world, the busyness of yesterday, the activities of tomorrow, and be present now. in stillness. And just as we relax our bodies, we also relax our minds. And one effective way of doing that is to bring your attention, put those thoughts, put your mind on your breath. Notice how it feels when you breathe in deeply and how it feels when you relax and exhale. Keep your mind on your breath, breathing in, breathing out. Continue the slow and deep breaths. Continue to relax into your seat. When we are still, we are aligned with, attuned to that divine. And so I ask you this morning to allow your imagination to present an image or a phrase to you, a concept, so that you can grab on to this idea. Something that you would like to do or be. Perhaps it's some activity. Maybe it's a way of being healthy, prosperous, loving, wise. Hold on to that idea, that concept. Put a mental picture of yourself in your mind. And then begin to imagine what it would be like, what it would feel like to have that or to be that. What would you do? Where would you go? How would it feel? How might it change your life? And for this time, for a few moments, allow yourself to imagine or visualize yourself embodying that, being that, doing that. There's great, great power in imagination. And when we link it with that divine in us, allow ourselves to catch the idea, allow ourselves to see the vision. We have the potential for expansion, for happiness, for a brighter future. Let us spend some time in silence with this imagined vision of ourselves in the silence. take a moment to notice how we're feeling. Notice how this experience of imagining that which we would like to do or be, how it feels in our bodies. I find myself energized, and I find myself more enthusiastic when I do this. As we catch that vision for a brighter future for ourselves, we awaken our bodies and our minds. We become receptive and open to all the ways that the universe supports that vision. We become the light. And we are grateful. We are grateful for each and every one of these abilities, these powers that are aspects of ourselves. We're grateful for the awareness of them so that we can work to be more light-filled, to be more Christ-like. We are grateful for the universe that supplies all that we need. We are grateful for all that we already have, and grateful for the awareness that we can keep evolving upward always, because it is our very nature to evolve. And so we begin to bring this time to a close. And we very gratefully, very lovingly repeat together, affirm together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.